Now, when we come here to verse 6, in fact, this is the thing that the critic has tried to get out of the text to begin with. They said it's shocking to find this prophecy given at this time. And it is. And that's the amazing thing and the wonder of it. And it's no excuse to reject it. It's to alert us. Listen to this. I'm reading verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Now, that, again, may I say, is a very wonderful verse of Scripture. I was wounded in the house of my friends. Now, that's been translated by some of the higher critics, wounded in the house of those who love me. Well, they didn't love him the first time. They hated him. And he made the statement, they hate me without a cause. Well, he's coming to his friends. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. He gave at that time the authority to become sons of God. Well, when the Spirit is poured out, they are going to receive him when he comes the second time. That is, the remnant will receive him, and they will wonder. They say, well, where did you get those wounds in your hand? He said, well, I was wounded here before. I came before. Came the first time. Now, he is called in a song, the Stranger Galilee. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like that song. He's not the Stranger of Galilee to those who know him. And even when he comes to his own people a second time, he'll not be the Stranger of Galilee. Now, the first time he came, he was the Stranger of Galilee to his own people, but not to those who know him. And that's the reason I don't think Christians should sing that song, Stranger of Galilee. Why, to know him is life eternal. And Paul says, my ambition at the end of his life, he says, that I might know him. Power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Now, when he came the first time, they didn't know him. And this matter of mistaken identity, that's been the source of plots for writers of both comedy and tragedy down through the years. Shakespeare in the Comedy of Errors. Dickens in the Tale of Two Cities. That's the plot. Many dramatic productions are based on this idea. The Count of Monte Cristo, for instance, becomes even more tragic, though, when it's in real life, and it's a real life story. I read of a mother who had not seen her daughter for 17 years. She went to meet her in New York and walked right past her. It took some time for them to meet again because the mother didn't recognize her own daughter. And when I held meetings quite a few years ago up in Reedley, California, I met a mother who had come from Russia. She'd not seen a daughter since she was a baby, or she wouldn't have known that daughter at all. I think the greatest tragedy of the ages are expressed in actually just 11 words. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a picture. And you remember John the Baptist elaborated upon that. And this is John 1:26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And the Lord Jesus said, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. What a tremendous statement that was. And then Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:14, verses 14 and 15, he wrote, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth. Notice that. The veil is untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You notice it's upon their heart. But Paul says, when it's removed, what? When the heart gets right, you can turn to him. He's a stranger only to those who don't know him as Savior. Now, Zechariah, therefore, speaks of that here. And so in this first coming, they didn't know him. But there was redemption is the high word of his first coming, and revelation is the high word of his second coming. It was reconciliation at his first coming, recognition at his second coming. It was the incarnation at his first coming. It will be identification at his second coming. It was the mystery at his first coming. It'll be manifestation at his second coming. And at his first coming, it was propitiation. And at his second coming, it will be proclamation. What a picture that we have here of this. And no wonder one shall say unto him, and I think just as Peter spoke for the other apostles and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? How did this come about? He'll answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. I came unto my own. The woman of Samaria said, How is it thou being a Jew? And you remember he told his apostles, Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And a remnant at that time accepted him and received him, but is only a remnant. And it'll be a remnant at his second coming, to tell the truth. I think a much larger remnant, but it will be a remnant because at that time the Spirit of God is to be poured out, which up to the present that has not happened. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost on just about 120, and it was a feast day in Jerusalem, and there were a whole lot of people there, friend.